This week in Retronauts, we prove that opinions are like mushrooms. They grow in crap. Hi, everyone. Welcome to Retronauts episode. I forgot to look it up. I was so busy having arguments about what games should be included in this episode, I forgot to do my due diligence. Welcome to episode 445 of Retronauts, which is actually like episode 600 or something, but you know, we're not good at counting, so just bear with us. We are going to prove this episode that we are good at counting from 1 to 15. We can handle this. Sort of. Although Stuart has already, before we started recording, pointed out that we actually should be counting to 16, maybe 17. Who knows? It's all a little fuzzy. It's fuzzy math. So I'm sticking to my list of 15 because it's a nice. It's not a round number because it's not even, but it's five. It's a multiple of
it's
five.
Easy to multiply
so it's,
by.
It's angular. It's a nice angular number. Anyway, here to. Supplement me by doing a better job with math and English, we have a panoply of Retronauts regulars. So why don't we start from this continent and move around the world? Which direction does the Earth rotate?
Nobody knows.
I think actually it stays still and the rest of the universe spins around it, so it doesn't matter. We'll go east from the US. So, well, from North America. So starting in North America.
Okay, I think I'm in North America. I know a little bit of geography. I can tell you for sure I am not your girl from math. I am Nadia Oxford from Acts of the Blood God. Good to be back.
Are you the girl from Ipanema?
Probably. Where the hell's Ipanema?
Ipanema. I don't remember. It's probably in like the Caribbean or something.
We're proving it how smart we are today.
This is Retronauts, not Geography Nuts. We're allowed. Geography Nuts. All right. So on the other side of a very large lake, we have.
Oh, God knows. This is me. Is this me? I don't know the I don't know any geography. This isn't even like a humorous joke. I don't know where any countries are.
Okay, so this is good because you're the one person here who is not from North America, does not have American in your heritage of any sort, and yet you're proving that we're not alone over here in the U.S. and Canada in being.
I never
stupid.
Played Mario is Missing. If only I'd played Mario is Missing, I would know where anything is. You know, hi, I'm.
Where on earth does Mario teach typing? What? Oh, sorry. Go ahead. Who are you?
I'm Stuart Gipp, and I'm just fresh off recording another Retronauts less than 24 hours ago. Yeah, we're pounding them out. It's good.
It's like a factory. It's like the pie factory, except it's a special kind of pie. Mm. You don't want to eat it.
Talking pie.
Yes. So finally, patiently forbearing our shenanigans.
Hello, this is Diamond Fight and a Mario podcast. Am I dreaming?
No, this is not a dream. It's not a hoax, and it's not an imaginary story. This is actually a Retronauts podcast, and we are here to rank Mario games. And if you have suffered through one of our ranking episodes before, you know they are indeed rank. And the way we approach this is to have a list of games that fit a certain criteria. In this case, it's 2D Mario platformers because there are so many Mario games that we're going to have to spread this out across multiple episodes, as we were just discussing before this episode began. In this case, it's 15 games beginning with Donkey Kong and going through Super Mario Run, which is, you know, the most recent original Mario platform type game to have come out. And then our question is, how good are these relative to one another? So each of us have ranked privately these games in our own little lists from 1 to 15. And we're going to talk about each of the games for about 5 minutes. Some of them we may only talk about for like 2 minutes because they're not very good. Or they are very good and we just don't have anything more to say about them. Some of them we may talk about a little longer, but on average, about 5 minutes. And then we're going to give our numbers and add those up, tally those up. And at the end of this episode, the game that has the smallest total score is the highest ranking game. You know, if every game, if a game gets all like first place votes, it's 1 point. So congratulations, you have 4 points. You are the number one game of all time or whatever. So that's how it's going to work. So, you know, you can come into this knowing some of us have biases. Some of us have, I mean, Stuart has Mario Clash as his background. So we clearly know where he's going to come in. The spoiler, the iconoclast. On the other hand, you know, people like me have publicly proclaimed their opinions about Mario games, so there's not a lot of surprises for me, but this is not just my podcast. It's a communal thing. And so the other people here with me on this show are going to, you know, they're going to counterbalance my extremely correct opinions by offering theirs. And so we'll come out to a mix that, you know, hopefully makes everyone angry. Yeah, that's pretty much it. Okay, so there are a few limitations here I would like to mention. These are 2D platform action games starring Mario. Luigi can also show up, but they are not games based on Luigi. New Super Luigi U, not in there. Mm-mm. Mm-hmm. Yoshi's Island, Mario does not figure in as the main character there. That whole lineage is out. Super Princess Peach, nope. We didn't even include Donkey Kong 94 because, one, I kind of forgot about it. But also, as we discussed it a little bit in advance, you know, that kind of spins off into the Mario versus Donkey Kong series. So we're going to kind of group that together as more of a puzzle platformer than a platform action game.
The way I'm thinking about it, if it's okay to chip in here, if we all just collectively agree that it's the best 2D Mario game, then we can just say this is ranking every game under Donkey Kong 94. And I think we can all agree with that. I think I speak for everyone when I say it's definitely the best one. So no objections. Nope.
I might have an objection.
So as you're hearing right now, there are no objections.
No, Nadia, just let the crazy man speak. It's fine. no, that is a very good game, but we didn't want to have to redo our rankings at the last minute. So it gets out of technicality. Yeah, the technicality is that we're lazy. No, that we will at some point rank the kind of other Mario-ish games that didn't quite fit into this episode. But this is the pure strain, really. And so we do begin with Donkey Kong, an arcade classic, without whom, et cetera, et cetera. What are your opinions on Donkey Kong? We'll talk about our scores momentarily. But to me, I mean, it's a simple game. There's not a lot to it, but it's such a foundational classic that you have to respect it. And also, aside from the Pi level, Cement Factory level, it's really, really good. It's just pure, simple, straightforward, but, you know, quickly becomes very challenging, especially in the arcade version. So that's kind of where I stand on this. I'm curious to hear your thoughts. Stuart, why do you think that Donkey Kong is not as good as Donkey Kong 94?
You got me now. Donkey Kong's great. I love Donkey Kong. My formative experience of Donkey Kong, other than Donkey Kong Classics back in the day, is trying to get the Rareware and Nintendo coins in Donkey Kong 64, which requires you to do two loops without game over.
Oh yeah.
I'm not trying to make myself sound like the big whoa, good at games guy, but I thought it was remarkably simple. I don't know why it was so difficult. But I enjoyed the hell out of learning it. I think it's a really enjoyable game. The every single level sort of offers something different. And I mean, yeah, like arcade games of that sort of vintage, once it starts looping, I sort of lose my patience with it because I'm not, if I ever just put money in it, you know, so I've got nothing to lose really. But no, it's great. I mean, I do prefer 94 because I think it's a little bit of a mini masterpiece, but we're not ranking that. So forget it. Forget Donkey Kong 94.
Yeah.
It may as well not even exist to help.
It goes in the memory hole.
Yeah. I like Donkey Kong. I think it's good.
So, Stuart, what number would you give Donkey Kong on a ranking of 1 to 15?
I gave it a 10.
10?
Yeah, I gave it a
10. 10 out of 10. Perfect. Okay.
I gave it a 10, which I think makes it almost sound like I think it's bad, but I actually don't. This is just a lot of good games on this list.
Yeah. The thing about this list is that until you get to like 13 or so, everything is just great. There's so many good games on here. I actually gave it a 5. I forgot to mention. So that's where I think at this point we can just say our scores, you know, as we're talking, because it's not like we're going to influence one another. And in fact, we may force the other person, other people to say, you know, come out swinging and say, you moron. So that's good podcasting right there. So yeah, to me, it's a 5. It's, you know, in the upper echelons. It's simple, pure, challenging. It's just super playable. And, you know, it created an empire of video games and, you know, an empire of a corporation, which is, you know, good and bad. Anyway, I'm going to go through this little thumbnail list in order. Nadia, you are next to Stuart.
I guess I am. So, yes, I gave Donkey Kong a 10 as well, actually, because I think that Stuart's bang on with in terms of, well, I actually would rank it higher, but we have a lot of, like, you know, bangers on this list. And Donkey Kong, I'm slightly biased because it was my first video game. I played on the ColecoVision when I was 4 years old. And it was not easy then, obviously, but I could pick it up as a four-year-old and play it. So that, I think, says a lot really good about it. And to this day, I still like to just kind of play some Donkey Kong if I have the opportunity because, again, it is just that really accessible, really smooth sort of gameplay loop that is extremely rare in a game of that age. So I think there's a lot to admire about Donkey Kong. And again, I would rank it higher if not for the fact that, well, it's like the list from heaven and hell.
It's more heaven than hell, I would say.
Yeah, thankfully. But having to rank everything is hell.
Ah, yes, there you go. So Diamond, what are your opinions on Donkey Kong? Would you rather rank in hell or serve in heaven?
Sounds like I'm copping out here because I'm giving it a 7, which is kind of smack in the middle. I do love Donkey Kong. I did love Donkey Kong, but I continue to love Donkey Kong. I just want to throw out here that a few years back, I was traveling with my family in Boston and we visited the lovely Science Museum in Boston. And sure enough, in that museum where it belongs, they had a Donkey Kong cabinet just set up for people to play. And I, no joke, there was a line of children, young children, like born in the 21st century children. They nice. Couldn't get enough of this game. It still works. Okay.
Absolutely.
I know my kids have asked me since, like, oh, how do you play this? And I think I've got them, you know, I set up for them on the Switch via the, I don't know, whatever the Nintendo service is called now, but, you know, I got them to try it a little bit. They looked at it like, oh, this is, you know, it's fun. It's still fun. And I can't get over the fact that, you know, the story of Donkey Kong's creation is also just a crazy story. It's a,
right.
It's a miracle to a coincidence through a, you know, a happenstance of, oh my God, we need a new game right now. You, kid, you give me the game. And he's like, what about Popeye? Like, well, not Popeye. Okay. He's a carpenter. All right, sold. And suddenly they've got gold bullion sitting around. It's amazing. It's an amazing tale. It's an amazing game, but it's got a lot of competition. So I said 7.
Okay, yeah, I agree. And that's that adds up to a nice, easily divisible by 4 kind of number, 32 points. That's an 8. It's pretty much smack in the middle of the list. So Donkey Kong, thoroughly mediocre. You've heard it here from Retronauts.
Tell Twitter.
That's
right now.
The law. On to the next game starring Mario Brothers. This one's a little bit kind of strains at the boundaries of what this list is about, but you know, video games are still figuring themselves out, and we wouldn't have Super Mario Brothers without Mario Brothers. So, Stuart, let's start with you. What do you think about Mario Bros?
I mean, my fondest like time with this game was as part of Mario Brothers 3 in battle mode, where it's essentially the same, although it's a bit less stiff in that. I think it has actual Mario 3 physics. I don't really care that much for Mario Brothers. I like, it's nice that it's a kind of formative thing. I think the mechanics are quite interesting. Nice way. It's a nice game that almost sort of seems very simple, but quickly turns into kind of panic state when you have enemies that you've left too long and they turn into sort of speedy enemies or all that sort of thing. I don't even know if that stuff was in the original, to be honest. I'm just thinking about battle mode. But no, I didn't like it. There's a clone of it called Bunkheads on the Mac, which is really good. And I don't think it's ever going to get mentioned ever in any capacity. So I decided to do it here now.
okay. So
I recommend playing that.
What would you give Mario Brothers?
I've given it 13.
13. What do you give Bunkheads?
If we're doing a Bunkheads ranking, Hootenanny. Yeah, one by necessity.
Okay, well done. I have to check that out then. The best Bunkheads game of all time. Mm.
And the worst.
Go ahead. Yes, also the worst. That's the problem with being singular. All right, so Nadia, where do you stand on Mario Bros?
It's funny how this game is actually a contrast to Donkey Kong, whereas Donkey Kong, we just said, is pretty much ageless. Mario Bros. Has aged quite a bit. I do remember very fond memories of playing the version on the Atari 2600, but when you're playing the Atari 2600, you'll take any game that's remotely playable. So I can give it a point for that. But ultimately, I put it at 14 because it's just not a game I go back to. It's not a game I think about, unlike Donkey Kong.
Wow, I said, you know, starting at 13, you get to the games that are actually kind of bad. So.
Oh, sorry. I ruined it.
Wow, that's poor Mario.
Let's start over. Scrub it up. All right.
Diamond?
I actually really like Mario Brothers. I played it a lot. I played it a lot in a variety of home systems and arcades. And when it came out to Arcade Archives, I remember picked it up right there because I do really enjoy the game. I actually give it a 6 because I've had a lot of great memories of this game. I do like the fact that it is way better as a co-op game, but yet you can still mess with each other. And if you are really mean, you can actually kill each other. Like, mm-hmm. if you play that game as a hostile outsider, you can, you know, take someone's quarter away, you know? And that's not how I play the game. Heaven forbid. Not. But I like that it's there. I like that those options are there. It's you know, you can play it different ways. It gives us the idea of Mario hating turtles. You know, it's a very important part of his personality.
Gotta crush turtles.
It established him as a plumber, not a carpenter, because that's crazy. How could he be a carpenter? A plumber is where he belongs. And it gives us Luigi, the best brother. So I say 6.
All right. Yeah, I think Mario Brothers, I think Nintendo has done it sort of a disservice by treating it as a cheap pack-in for so long. They included it, you know, in Mario Brothers or Super Mario 3, which was cool. It was a fun thing to do. But then you got that same version in like every Mario Advance game. And after a while, people were just like, Mario Brothers, oh, that's that, you know, bonus mode that no one cares about. But going back to it, you know, recently in the past few years, I was, you know, kind of impressed with it. I have occasionally played it in arcades at conventions. And when you play with another person, you know, Fight has it right on the nose where it really kind of encapsulates that Nintendo multiplayer spirit where, yeah, you're supposed to work together, but they give you a lot of allowance to really screw with each other. And, you know, it's like you're helping, but also you're hurting. And that's fun. It makes everyone angry. And it's got that cooperation / conflict that shows up later on this list, actually, once you get into the multiplayer platformers.
Yeah.
So I gave it a 10. It's not, you know, to me, I mean, it is at the top 10, barely. It's not, you know, the upper tiers, upper echelons of Mario games, but it's still very good and very pure playable. And I definitely recommend the Arcade Archives version over like the NES version, which is kind of compromised. Unless you're in the UK, in which case you got like a later, like long after Mario Brothers was no longer relevant. They were like, we're going to give you guys the definitive version for NES and not take it to the US. So that version is somewhat better. But yeah, Arcade Archives is the way to go. So, Nadia, I think you were going to say something and I just kept monologuing.
Oh, no, I was just going to say about how I have to say it's cleverly implemented in Mario 3. And for the time, I still think that was brilliant. The way that you can steal someone's turn by playing that game. Like if you're with a jerk sibling, like I often was, you know, your Mario or Luigi would pass over a certain tile that was marked with the other brother's like initial, and you get pulled into the Mario Brothers game. And if whoever loses the game loses their turn, and you can actually steal each other's end of level cards too. So I have to give it kudos for being implemented so well into the actual fabric of Super Mario Brothers 3.
I spent a lot of time on that mode with the different variants of Mario Brothers. It was great.
Yeah.
All right. So 13, 14, 6, and 10 works out to a very untidy 10.75. So that's not the worst fight for the, you know, with the save, basically. But we'll see how these other games stack up. Okay, on then to Super Mario Brothers. Is it indeed Super, Nadia? What do you think?
Oh, no, it is absolutely Super. This is the game that changed everything for me and for, I guess, a lot of ratty little 80s kids. I just remember, you know, how could you not be amazed coming off Atari, like I mentioned, and seeing Super Mario Brothers, like a side-scrolling game with multiple worlds, not just one screen, and oh my god, there's a goal, you have to rescue this princess from a dragon. It's not exactly, you know, deep fiction, but it's something. The music, which is still iconic to this day, like some of the most iconic themes ever made were born in that game. So again, this is a game, this is a list full of very, very stiff competition. So I had to give it a 4.
Wow. Okay. Fight, what about you? Where do you land on Super Mario Brothers?
I also give it 4. I really feel it's a very strong game. It lasts, you know, it really has, you know, has staying power. It's still fun. I really, you know, you think back to, gosh, it's coming up on 10 years soon, but, you know, the core fun of Super Mario Maker is just the fact that we all know how to play Super Mario, we all love Super Mario, and it's like, oh, well, you know, here, you try and make a Mario game, and yet you can still have so much fun with those rules, with those characters. You know, obviously, they gave you more modes than just the Super Mario 1 mode, but when I went online, I played a lot of Super Mario 1-style games, and I think it holds up very well. And even though I've never actually finished it without cheating, but
yes,
it's still, I've had a lot of fun with it over the years. And yeah, I say 4.
Yeah, I confess I've never beaten Super Mario Brothers without cheating. I recorded a whole bunch of footage a few years ago and I was like, oh man, this game is actually way easier than I remember. I played through all the levels instead of warping, got to 8-4. That was it.
Get it.
I had a bunch of lives at that point, without even using the turtle trick in 3-1. And I just cannot beat Bowser in 8-4. The jumps, the fires, and the hammers, it's too much. It's too much. He's overpowered. He can keep the princess. It's fine. I'm sure they'll have a happy life together. But I'll be dead, so it doesn't matter. Stuart, what about you? Where does Super Mario Brothers fall for you? I know you're probably going to come out saying, you know, it's no great Gianna Sisters, but.
Well, I mean, I give it 2. I think it's the second best of these games. But I mean, my sort of history with it, I'm not going to go into super detail or anything, but I remember seeing Duck Hunt at a friend's house and wanting to play it. And we found out you could hire an NES with the Duck Hunt cartridge. So we did. And it turns out that also on the Duck Hunt cartridge was this other stupid game called Super Mario Brothers. And it's just like, what is this? Like, this isn't, you don't shoot this, who cares? But no, it turns out that it's actually amazing. It's still amazing. The feeling of the momentum when you play it is almost like intoxicating. It feels flawless. I love the way Mario moves in this game. I wish they'd bring that kind of momentum back to the newer ones. And they kind of did with the new Super Mario Brothers a bit. There are so few elements in the game, but they put them all in like the absolute maximum possible. I don't know how to describe it. It's just very good. It's just very, very good. There's a reason that it's still one of the most played, one of the most sort of streamed, one of the most speedrun games ever, because it has so much scope. Even the glitches in this game are like iconic. It's fantastic. Anyone can pick up and play it. There's a museum where I live in Cambridge called Museum of Computing History that has this on a constant display. And every time I go there, I have to beat it. Like, I have to sit down and I have to beat the game with the original hardware, which I can do in about 8 minutes, 10 minutes, maybe. Whoops. I don't consider it that big. I don't think it's that hard of a game now, but then again, that's all those years of practice. Yeah, it's fantastic. And it's still going to be played in another 35, 40 years. People are still going to be playing it. So I mean, look at platform games before Super Mario Brothers, and then look at Super Mario Brothers.
Yeah, basically, that says it all.
You know,
Pac-Man World, yay! Yeah.
So when you do your mandatory playthrough, do you warp or do you?
Oh yeah, I do warp. Yeah, I don't consider that cheating. I don't consider that cheating.
No, it's not cheating. It's just people. Well, I mean, it is cheating in a way. You're cheating yourself out of all those other stages.
I didn't miss them.
Whenever I use my footage of Super Mario Brothers in my videos, I always try to pull from like World 7 or World 6, the one that people are, you know, the worlds where people are like, what even are these? They just walk right past them. There's all kinds of stuff there.
Nah, the only levels in Super Mario Brothers are 1-1, 1-2, 4-1, 4-2, and World 8. That's all there is. You don't need any more.
That's all there is to it.
Fair enough. Fight and I have a friend, Kyle, who loves Super Mario Brothers. And whenever we would go to retro gaming bars together in Tokyo, he would always like sit down and try to do a speed run of Mario. And I think he would get it down to like 5 or 6 minutes.
Wow.
He's just, you know, a machine. And he was doing this on Virtual Console, played on this huge projection screen. So there was all kinds of built-in lag. I've played stuff on that system before, like games that I know really well, like Mega Man 2. I'm just like, oh, this feels awful. But he had it so down that he could just blast through it flawlessly.
With a cocktail, no less.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, they're pretty weak cocktails there. They water those things down. But anyway, yeah, I feel like a real jerk here because I put this at 7. And I feel like a kind of a, like a hypocrite too, because I was talking about how formative Donkey Kong is, and I realized this game, you know, in its way is probably more so, but I was just kind of going on instinct here, and I just sort of burned myself out on Super Mario Brothers back when I was like learning how to play video games with the NES. And I just feel like, you know, there's another game on here on this list that I probably could transpose its position with Super Mario Brothers in my rankings and be more in line with everyone else. But I like that other game more because it just seemed more interesting and really spoke more to me. Super Mario Brothers is great. Number seven, you know, bringing up the middle of the list of best Mario platformers, you know, like of all Mario platformers, not just the best, they're all the best, except the one or two at the bottom. You know, that's no bad thing, but still, like, for me, it is a, you know, a masterpiece, a classic. It's timeless, but also I just feel like it's kind of like the skeleton of Mario. And you know, later on Mario would get some meat, and then he would lose some meat because they were like, oh, Mario can't be a chubby little guy, he's got to be svelte and 20 years old, and I don't know what they're doing with Mario these days. It's weird.
He's got a gun.
Anyways,
you say he's got a gun? Did I just hear that?
Yeah, I saw him shooting some rabbits on the Switch and I was like, oh, didn't do that. No one's played that one. It's like XCOM. They put him in an XCOM game.
I thought you described it as some sort of like Watership Down parody.
I don't know why they allowed this. I don't know who allowed this. I refuse to believe
Ubisoft.
It was done with
Ubisoft.
Yeah. Yeah, imagine you get the Mario license, you can do anything, and like, I think we should put him in a turn-based strategy game.
Combat. Yeah,
and here's good. I haven't played it, but here's good.
Ubisoft was like, hey, Nintendo, let us do what we want with Mario, or we're going to turn him into an NFT.
Oh, God.
All right.
Please.
So that puts Super Mario Brothers at 4.25 out of 15. So 4.25 Super Mario Brothers. Now on to Les Enfants Terribles, Super Mario Brothers: The Lost Levels, the first Mario platformer with scrolling and Luigi and poison mushrooms and wind and worlds that you can get to, and then if you die once, it kicks you back to the beginning. Fight. Where do you fall on Super Mario Brothers: The Lost Levels, aka Super Mario Brothers 2, where you live?
Yeah, I fall on it with my elbow because I don't like this game. I find it miserable. I see what they were going for. I'm sure. You know, I've written about this game before. I'm sure if I had played this at the time, there would have been more, I'd maybe be a little more open-minded to it, but also I think I would also get angry at it, because if I didn't beat Mario Brothers 1, I sure as heck could not beat this game. You know, there's some value to what I feel like, how it, you know, it already plays with your expectations. You know, all of a sudden there's flying squids, and oh, you can go up the beanstalk, and there's a castle in the sky. Whoa, you know, like and stuff like that.
Is but Mark Hamill up there?
Ultimately, you know, it's just, we made this game, we made it even harder. Like that's it, you know. And they got this out in less than, you know, what, like 7-8 months after the original mm-hmm. Mario Brothers. Like it was a very short turnaround. So I don't begrudge them for getting it out there. It was a huge, you know, Mario was a huge hit. They wanted to make more Mario, but I think Nintendo of USA, one of the best decisions they ever made was telling Nintendo of Japan, like, absolutely, no, we cannot release this. Give us that Fuji TV game. There's gold there. I know mm-hmm. it is. Mm-hmm. So,
but you got to take out the pickaninny faces, please.
Oh God. Yes. God.
So I rank Lost Levels at 12.
12. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, it's still playable. It's not a bad game, but boy, I do not enjoy it. So I don't want to play it.
All right. As for me, I gave Super Mario Brothers: The Lost Levels a 13. I respect and understand this game. But it feels very much like a path not taken for Nintendo. Nintendo could have gone the same route as everyone with their sequels and follow-ups and said, you know, this is going to be kind of the same thing, but it's going to be weirder, harder. It's going to mess with your expectations. And I think, you know, they kind of collectively realized after this game came out, like, no, that's not really us. That's not really what we're about. Let's use our sequels to do weird things and like in a different kind of way, unexpected, surprising, fun, new innovations in design, as opposed to just, you know, taking the same thing and making it so it's miserable. I think, you know, also to Fight's point, this was made in a very short period of time, specifically for the sake of getting a new Mario game on the Famicom Disk System, which had just come out a few months earlier. So, you know, they launched with Zelda, which was, ooh, I mean, Zelda, but at the time it was like Zelda, you know, it was like that guy walking around Zelda, like trying, what the hell is Zelda? No one knew what that was, but Mario was established. So they wanted to get a new Mario game on there immediately, and they did. And so I can respect that. But at the same time, it's full of kind of un-Nintendo-ish tricks, which makes it interesting in a way. It's like, wow, they're not usually quite so dickish, but, this was them, you know, in full dick mode. And, you know, that's interesting and I'm glad this exists, but I have a hard time playing it, and not in that it is hard. I mean, it is, but just like, it just doesn't feel right to me. That's all. Stuart, you gotta be the spoiler here. Come on, give it the number one.
Oh, I did actually give it a 3. I love this game. I think it's great.
There you go.
It's Super Mario Brothers made by someone who hates you. It's great.
That's basically what, and yeah. You take joy
as opposed to your kind grandfather Miyamoto.
Yeah, there's so much about this game that speaks to me on a fundamental, like, spiritual level. Yeah,
this was made by angry divorcee dad Miyamoto.
You know, when you're playing a game, and I know I bang this drum a lot, so I apologize to regular Retronauts listeners. This is nothing compared to Spectrum games. Like, this is not compared to even like the most popular Spectrum games like Treasure Island Dizzy. This is a joke. I'm not saying it's easy. It's not easy. I just mean, when it comes to dickishness, this doesn't even begin to scratch the surface of what I'm used to. So
fair enough. Although a lot of Spectrum, and 8-bit microcomputer difficulty comes from the fact that those systems just didn't have the power to handle action games.
Yeah.
So everything is like, you know, trying to do precision platforming, but your character can only move in like 8 sprite or, you know, eight pixel increments.
Yeah. We talked about this yesterday on the Dizzy episode that we recorded. But essentially games would release that weren't finished and couldn't be beaten. And people would just be like, well, that's how it goes. You know, no death threats, though, not to my knowledge. But no, Mario Lost Levels, Oh, just thinking about it just makes me happy. It's full of insane things the game asks you to do, like Koopa bounces under blocks over bottomless pits to get the vine out that you have to take. Otherwise, the level loops infinitely. Things that you would never think to do in the original game and would never be asked to do. In fact, I think that's one of the few mechanical changes they made, is that you now do bounce high off of enemies rather than just
a small... I was wondering when that started. I thought it was Mario 3, but you might be right.
Humorously enough, the Game Boy Color DX, Mario Brothers DX that ported this and the Lost Level, the ported Lost Levels and the original game, didn't include that, which made it even harder. which is
and the
fun.
Resolution is smaller.
Yeah, that was a nightmare. But no, I just think it's a lot of fun. I really don't mind getting... I mean, when you find one of those warp zones that takes you back like several worlds, what can you do?
Yeah, the suicide pit.
What
little...
can you do? Like, how can you not just laugh?
Silent suicide pit.
It's totally unfair. It's like you found a fun secret. Oh, too bad.
Yeah, this is like Mario wanting to be Atlantis no Nazo.
Yeah.
And Atlantis no Nazo wanted to be Mario. It's very confusing. A lot of identity crises. Nadia, give us the final word on Mario Lost Levels.
Unless I missed my guess, wasn't this a game that was more or less born because people were so desperate for more Mario, they started like drop kicking their Nintendo so that it would make junk levels and like they would play that?
I don't know that they drop-kicked their Nintendos, but yeah, like Mario, Super Mario Brothers was huge. I mean, Nintendo, like I said, they wanted to get a Mario out there ASAP, and they've stuck it on their disc system, so, you know, you would have incentive to go out and buy, you know, pay 179,000 yen or whatever, however much it costs, you know, $200 to get the add-on for your Famicom. So, yeah, it was kind of a, like a stick and carrot thing.
Yeah, what I am leading up to here is that it really does play like a game that was made out of random garbage, or rather for people with a love of random garbage and just so desperate for that experience that they will play whatever is put in front of them. I do not like this game. I think it's mean. And Nintendo games can be difficult, but they're never mean. And I think like a lot of people, I first played this on the SNES with the Super Mario All-Stars pack, which, God, now I realize now actually gave you mercy. Not much, but it gave you something. Mm-hmm. And I finished it. I hated every second of it, but I had to say I did it. So I finished it, and that's why it's number 11 in my heart.
11. Okay. That brings it into 9.75. So it's way down the list, but clearly not the worst. There's going to be worse coming because neither of us have brought out the dread number 15. Will we do that for the American Super Mario Brothers 2? I say thee nay. I gave Super Mario Brothers 2 USA a 4. This is the game I could have transposed with Super Mario Brothers and been more in line with everyone else, but I just really love this game. It's so different from Super Mario Brothers. It's like no other Mario game, really. I guess Mario 3D Land has kind of borrowed from it a little bit, but it did so much to just kind of define what we think of as Mario these days. Even though it takes place in some other kingdom, there's all these, you know, characters, like enemies and stuff that have shown up in later Mario games, very inventive. It's the game that kind of defined the Mario pantheon. You know, Mario and Luigi already were defined in the Japanese Lost Levels. But then you had Princess Toadstool, or Peach, and Toad. And they became, rather than like scenery at the end of the level, they became active characters who had distinct abilities from Mario and Luigi. And that made it really interesting. This also is a very exploratory game where you are rewarded not for blasting through as quickly as possible. There's no timer. There's no score. It's more about like, hey, poke around, figure out the way to the ending. You know, especially some of the later levels, they get convoluted and you're doing stuff like jumping on top of a bird and taking a flight in the wrong direction to get to the door that leads you forward. So, you know, it does some stuff where you have to kind of think counterintuitively, but... You know, at that point in the game, you've sort of been primed for that. You've sort of been taught, like, you know, there's going to be weird stuff hidden. There's going to be secrets. You're going to dig through sand. You're going to, like, go through a stage that, you know, it has a simple overworld on top, but then you have to go through a bunch of caverns underground to get back to where you started and get to the door that you could see at the very beginning. It just, I don't know, it's just inventive and fun. And I know it didn't start out as a Mario game, but I mean, Doki Doki Panic came out of Mario experimentations to get vertical scrolling into a Mario game. So it is a Mario game. And it doesn't matter because this game defines so much of Mario. Like, you know, if you owned an NES in the late 80s, you know, before Super Mario Brothers 3 came out, then this was kind of the image you had of Mario. The marketing, mm-hmm. the artwork for this game was plastered all over Nintendo character goods. It's just, to me, a defining Mario. So I gave it a 4. Probably could have given it higher, honestly, but, you know, got to leave some room for the other games. I didn't want it to be all NES games up at the top. But yeah, it's just great. I love it. And I have no real complaints about it. I'd love to go back to it. I can't wait to do my NES Works video on Mario 2. It's going to be like an hour of me just saying, this game's so good. Anyway, Stuart, where do you fall on this one?
Interesting note of trivia. Did you know that this game is actually based on an NES game called Doki Doki Panic? Is that not a Mario game at all? That's amazing.
My goodness. So it's gonna be down in 15 for you, right?
You heard it here first, listeners. I gave it a 9. That doesn't mean I don't like it. I think it's great. I really, really enjoy this game. I like the way it leans into its mechanics, which sounds insane, I suppose. You know, the sections where you have to dig downwards while sort of Shy Guys and Sniffits are milling around? Yeah. That's only difficult because of the way the digging works. And I love stuff like that. It makes no sense. It's pure video game sort of ridiculousness. The way that you have sometimes screen wrapping and sometimes not. The way you can ride enemies and you can get like shortcuts that way. It's just a really interesting, weird little game, and I really dig it. But it's not weird in the way that sort of The Lost Levels is weird. It's fun weird. It's like good weird. Like the way you can pull up a shrub and end up in a space rocket and stick off.
Come on.
You know,
that's
it's
great.
Cool. It's just really cool. The way you can ride on like the blowhole of a whale and get thrown into the air by the stream of water.
It's just a really spume. Cool game.
Oh, I'm sorry, a spume. Okay, I didn't know that. But what I did know is that this game was originally... No, I'm not going to do that again.
I was going to try to make a Doki Doki joke in there, so congratulations.
Yeah. You know, it introduces the Shy Guys. They're the coolest of all the Mario villains. So, yeah, gotta love it.
Yeah, you know, I was actually honestly kind of disappointed with Mario 3 because it went back to the more, you know, Mario 1 style. I didn't understand the lineage here at the time. Mm-hmm. I was just like, oh, it's not like Mario 2. I can't jump on enemies and, you know, like ride them around. They just go, boink, and well, you know, now I can pick them up and that's kind of cool, but I'm not carrying them overhead. That's not as cool. Anyway, so it was kind of a letdown. I'm going to spoil things. I gave Mario 3 a slightly higher score than I gave Mario 2, but in my heart, no. But I was trying to be objective here. Nadia, are you being objective?
Oh, I'm always objective.
In your heart?
Not in my heart so much, but I gave this one a 3, actually. I think I'm going to echo a lot of what you said in that Mario Brothers 2 is certainly like one of the most imaginative Mario games that we're going to be talking about today. And I think it is a darn shame that Nintendo has not plumbed more of that plum, so to speak, more of what the world offers. Like, we should see Wart. We should see stuff like that. I think the closest we got thinking about it was Mario Kart 8, I think, has a subcon level, or one of the Mario Karts does. And it looks really cool, because of course it does. And thinking back, I think Mario Brothers 2 was the first, I guess I would call it a playground game, where I remember kids talking about it on the playground because it was so different and everything was, all the rules were changed. So, I jumped on an enemy and it's not dead. I'm riding. What the hell is going on? Oh, you have to pick it up. Oh, how do I warp in this game? Oh, you have to use a potion. So everything was kind of changed just enough that kids loved talking about it and really added so much depth and dimension to the game, even just talking about like what characters are best for what world. So I think it's an extremely important Mario game. I think that, as you said earlier, Parrish, the fact that Nintendo brought it over instead of giving us the Lost Levels was one of the... Or sorry, it was Diamond who said
fine.
That? I'm sorry. Okay. But yeah, I think it's probably one of the smartest moves they could have made in that early era when Mario was still kind of like, you know, kind of a nebulous property, and they really cemented the fact, okay, Mario's about exploration and fun, not hating yourself and everyone around you.
All right, and Fight, what do you think of Mario 2, or as you know it, Super Mario USA?
USA, yes.
I love this game. I love it very, very much. You mentioned Kyle, our man in Tokyo there. Yeah, when I'm at game bars, I play this game.
Yes.
And yeah, I warp and I try to get to the end. And it's because it's such a lesser title here in Japan. You know, Super Mario USA actually came here, I want to say, in 1992. So it was extremely late.
It was released alongside the Super Famicom, or the Famicom Junior, the AV Famicom. That's what it was called.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And so when I play this game in Japanese game bars, a lot of people look at the screen with confusion, like, "What the hell is this? Like, what are you doing?" Like, and it's just like, "Well, it's I'm playing the Superior Mario sequel." You know, I'm sorry, sorry, but what you got? But yeah, I think everyone said enough about this game, so I'll just say I gave it a 2.
2.
Yep.
Okay.
Doki Doki Perfect.
So that gives us a score of 4.5 for Super Mario Brothers 2, putting it, this is a technical term, a scooch below below Super Mario Brothers at 4.25. So that is a quarter point increment. My God, so close, neck and neck, as it is in our hearts. All right, so that was 1988. Moving on to 1989, we have Super Mario Land for Game Boy. Stuart, why don't you warm us up with this one?
I like the music that plays when you get a Starman in this game. It's great.
Yeah.
And for that reason, I've given it a 1. No, that's not true. No, it's a fascinating game. I gave it a 5. I think it's really, really good. It's kind of exemplifies the early Game Boy game style that I really like, which is their super small graphics that don't try to be like NES graphics or SNES graphics, worse yet. The graphics don't really blur that much. It just works very well, even on the old Game Boy screen.
Eight.
Plus, you know, it's a good game. It's a weird game, and I value that. You know, you fight a Sphinx in it. That's unusual. Tatanga's in it and not Bowser, which is unusual. It feels like the rules of Mario haven't been set yet. You know, there's a shmup level where you're in the sky pop.
There's two, actually.
Sky
pop and the
submarine.
Sub-pop.
Yeah, the sub pop.
Is it called sub pop? That was a record label.
Yes, that was Nirvana's record label. I like Super Mario Land. I think it's a strong handheld Mario. I liked it better than the second one, which I also did like, because I felt like it played to the strength of the handheld more. It's nice and challenging as well. It's not super difficult, but it's not stupidly easy either. Good stuff. Good game. Yeah, I give it a 5.
All right. Nadia?
I gave it an 8. And I have to say Super Mario Land was my first, like, I had a Game Boy before I had an NES. So this was the Mario that I really cut my teeth on. And it's funny how back then it just seemed like such a difficult, long game to struggle through. And I remember finishing it and I was so proud of myself. Now I pick it up and I'm like, oh, okay, I played for 5 minutes and I'm done. Well, that was fun. I want to echo what Stuart said, where it's just really well tailored for the Game Boy. It doesn't really try to wow you with its graphics or anything like that. It's just really good, solid gameplay. The thing I remember most is that when you hit the bosses, they make like a weird bleeding sound. And I remember that because my mom used to play the game with the volume way up, and my dad used to be like, "Why are you playing a game about slaughtering farm animals? What is going on in this house?" So yeah, that's my main memory of Super Mario Land, the bleeding, and I gave it an 8 for that particular noise.
Fight?
I matched 2, actually. I gave it a 5 as well. I had a lot of fun with this game. I definitely got, when I got my Game Boy in 89, this was definitely the first game. I mean, Tetris was in the box. Okay, but
of course, yeah.
The first game I willingly sought out to put into my Game Boy was this, and I really enjoyed it. I love that it's not too long. It really keeps things moving, keeps things flowing. You got a China world for some reason. Why is there a China world? Why are there hopping corpses here? But you get them.
Every world is based in a different region of the world. There's like an Egypt level. There's an Easter Island level.
Right. You get the Super Bowl. I love the Super Bowl power up. I think that's wonderful.
Yeah,
that's a wonderful twist.
Yeah.
You know, instead of having fireballs, you throw a ball and you get the coins. I love it.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, 5.
All right. And putting myself once again in the exact same territory as Nadia because we share a brain. I gave Mario Land an 8, which again, you know, that's still high praise. I love this game and will go to bat for it. My biggest complaint about it really is that there's just not enough of it. It's only like 12 stages long. It's so tiny. The first time I ever played it was on my brother's Game Boy, and he was never able to finish this game. So he let me play Mario Land on a car trip once, and 20 minutes later, I was like, okay, here you go. First time playing it, I just, you know, slaughtered it because that was the kind of weird child savant that I was when it came to video games. But, you know, going back to it, I feel like it holds up really well. As Stuart has said, it really maximizes the Game Boy hardware. But, you know, having played a lot of Game Boy games for my video projects, I really appreciate the fact that this was a game built around the limitations of the system, trying to give you a Mario-like experience without, you know, overdoing it. And it's very simple looking, very kind of primitive, but it plays really well. And, you know, all the abilities have been kind of tweaked and fine tuned. You can't fly, obviously. But you can gather coins by shooting a bouncing ball at them. And that's cool. And that's, you know, that's something that would actually show up in later Mario games where fireballs would absorb coins. Yeah, so
that's right.
Not a lot of this came, you know, has shown up in other Mario games because this wasn't made by Miyamoto's team. But I think it's worth remembering. So I gave it an 8, and that brings the overall score for this game to 6.5.
Can we also shout out the fact that the music is by Hip Tanaka, and it's great music. And once upon a time, I saw him DJ a set in Tokyo, and he played like a dance version of the ending music for this game, and it was wonderful. It was beautiful.
I want to hear that right now.
Okay, so that was Mario Land. Now back over to the NES for Super Mario Brothers 3, and I believe Nadia kicked this one off, so we're going to let Faito-san lead us in to Super Mario Brothers 3, which actually came out before Mario Land, but in America it came out after, and that's, we're all Americans here except Stuart, and that's okay, because you're an honorary American because you don't know geography.
Super Mario Bros. 3, I give it a 3. You know, this was an incredible game, an incredible experience. You know, for me, I remember half of the quest to beat this game was to even get the game. You know, it was, you know, it has a release date in history, but, you know, I think it took months for people to actually get their hands on it. It's a game that's overflowing with ideas, which is almost, it's almost its downside. Like, there's so much stuff in this game, and you almost, you know, it's impossible to see it all. You know, there's no way to save your progress. There's no way to go back to what you missed. You just, like, you sit down and you play it, and you could play it for hours, or you could just run through it if you really, you know, if you're in a hurry and blow your whistles. But, yeah, it's a fantastic game. I share what Jeremy said earlier. It's like, you know, after Mario 2, which I loved, having Mario 3 be closer to 1 was an initial sort of like, oh, we're going backwards. But then it's like, oh, no, we're taking one step backwards and then three steps forwards and sideways, and we're flying now because we fly now. You know,
it starts out seeming kind of like, oh, it's Mario again, but by the end you're like battling Bowser's tank armada in a world of eternal darkness. So
yeah,
you know,
awesome.
It goes places.
Yeah, this is a game I played for hours and hours and hours, so it's valuable to me. It's not 2 in my mind, but 3 is very good, so I gave it a 3.
I also gave Mario 3 a 3 because it's called Mario 3, and that just, you know, I just had to do that.
It makes sense. Come on. That's good math.
Yeah, yeah. That's why I gave New Super Mario Brothers 2 a 2 also. no, it's just a There's so much to this game. I do wish Nintendo would release a version of this game that is the NES game, but with the save feature. I mean, you can play like Switch Online and use save states, but it's not the same. It's not the same. Save states, not the same. You want to be able to like save your progress and quit game and then start it up again. And then, you know, you start up and you're in a slightly different place than when you quit playing, and you maybe have to build up lives again or something. I don't know. There's something about a save feature that I really wish this game would have it. And, you know, not the remakes where the physics are different and the screen dimensions are different. It's, I don't know. I'm just being an old Luddite now. But yeah, I mean, there's this game is, again, overflowing with ideas. And, you know, I think that's a big part of its appeal. There are ideas you see once or twice and never again, like Korobo Shu. You know, the angry sun that swoops out of the sky to destroy you.
God, it scared the crap out of me.
Yeah, there's just like, and then all the levels that people skip over, like the, you know, the pipe mazes and, you know, the stage that is basically Japan. I think people kind of get to the big world and, that's it. They're like, okay, cool. Yeah, I saw the really big Goombas and the giant pipes. Now I'm done. there's so much more to Mario 3 than that. You have to play the game without warps. Don't use those whistles. Those are for Zelda. Get rid of those things. Play the whole game. It's great. I mean, it's like a 3 or 4 hour experience that way, and you can't power off your NES. But if you really want it, then you got to experience it that way. And if you don't really want it, what are you doing here? Anyway, Stuart.
This is my favorite Mario game. I gave it the top position of one. I can't fault it, honestly. It's the fact that it has these ideas that it just throws out there for one level and then goes, ah, yeah, forget that. That was stupid. How about this? that, to me, is a bonus. You can play through this game in so many ways. If you do incorporate warp whistles, you can go to so many different places, try so many different things. You can break the rules. You can go behind the scenery. You can smash up the rocks on the map and go to a separate secret map. You can steal a boat and you can go to Japan in World 3. You can climb a tower and go to a completely separate upper tier of the map on World 5. Then you've got World 6, the gimmick of which is just that it's impossible. You know, you've got the level in World 7, which is just alternating munches coming out of pipes, just ridiculously, almost like it's almost like a massacre level. And that one is so precise. Then there's also that stage where you constantly get Starman. As long as you have one active, you can keep
on. Yes.
That's just hella fun. Plus, when you have a Starman and you're Big Mario, you do a flip, which is amazing.
It's like
I could sit here for 2 hours. I could sit here for two unbroken hours listing cool things that are in Mario 3. It feels like every level has some cool secret in it. Like every single one of them. I bet there are
dozens.
You
can dress up as
a
frog and swim. It's so
exactly.
Cool.
I haven't even mentioned the frogs. I didn't even mention the frogs.
So there you go.
I mean, what else do you need? But no, I bet there are dozens of secrets in that game I still haven't found, and I've been playing it since it came out. It's brilliant. It's flawless. It's peak Mario. I love the fact that once you finish a level, you can't go back in it because it means you don't have to go backtracking to find anything. Because I hate that. It's great. It's just a one straight through obstacle course masterpiece, full of cool stuff that you'll go to the playground the next day and be like, I got dragged to hell by a giant hand.
Yeah. What is with those hands?
Yeah, it's so good. And, you know, the fact you can have your inventory, so if you don't like a level, you can use your P-Wing, skip over it. But then you've got that whole thing of like, oh, should I use the P-Wing now or should I save the P-Wing for later? Yeah. Should I use my cloud to skip this level or should I because of course if you skip the level then you die, you gotta go back and you haven't got the cloud anymore. Oh, what a game. What a great game that is.
All right, Nadia.
Yeah, I also put it as my number one for pretty much all the reasons Stuart said and all the reasons all of you have said. It's a brilliant game. Some of its design choices are really, really good and really interesting. Like we were talking earlier about, oh well, there's no save states in this game. There is not. But if you beat the fortress for a world, sometimes there's even two fortresses, you will get a shortcut put in, like a bridge or an unlocked door, and that will make it so that if you have to continue, because you lose all your lives, you get to skip a lot of what was what you had to clear the first time around, which includes a lot of levels. Not every level, but a lot of them. So I think that's a really interesting way to just kind of let people progress much easier than they did back in the days of Super Mario Brothers. But also, one thing I want to mention here is that I think Mario 3 has some really interesting instances of visual storytelling. And my favorite example is in World 7, I think it is, there is a fortress that is just made of bricks, breakable bricks. And you see this fortress, you're like, holy crap, I have to like find the P block, because of course it's the P block that's going to change everything to coins. So you find it quite easily, and you're like, yay, coins, 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 and you get all the coins you could possibly want. And then you realize I'm in a loop, and the only way out is to run out of time and die, or find the way out of here. And it's like, if you run out of time and die, fine, big deal. You have all the men you need of just going back to the stage and collecting the coins. But to find your way out, you have to start thinking, and you have to start exploring. And you have to, like, for example, fly up to the ceiling and find the pipe there. And then it just kind of loops you back, and you have to find the other way out. Like, there's just, like, so many – there's two exits to this place, and it's just so well designed and so interesting, especially when you realize – where is everybody in this fortress? You see the candles that usually have like the hotfoot enemies, they're empty. The floors that usually have like those weird stretchy ghost things, they're empty. You don't see anybody except for Boom Boom, if you can find him. And you realize this place is abandoned. This place is not just abandoned, but it's also a castle full of infinite treasure. But there's no way out unless I use my brain and think about what I'm doing here and don't get caught up in the lust of all this gold. And What is being told here? I feel like there is some sort of creepy-ass legend behind all of this that the developers are telling us about. And to me, to this day, I still think it's one of the most fascinating levels I've ever played in any video game, let alone a Mario game. And you just have, like, so many – that's the best instance, I think, of visual storytelling in the game. But then, like, for example, you go to World 8, and right before Bowser's Castle, you see, like, these decrepit mushroom houses. So it's like, oh, man, that's so awesome. He just like, bulldozed wherever the hell these mushroom people were living here and just made it his own. That's incredible. And I love, to this day, I think Dark World in Mario 3 is the best Mario world. So, yeah, number one game, there's really no contest here. We'll get to Mario World, I'm sure. But, yeah, I gave you the reason why I really regard it as one of my favorites of all time.
Wow, this wasn't just a Mario ranking, but also a free creepypasta.
Yeah.
So, that puts Mario 3's average score at 2. I don't think anything is going to beat that, but we'll see. I'm going to go to bat for a few things. I'm going to go to bat for Super Mario World, which I like better than Mario 3. To me, this is my kind of ideal Mario. It's, it's alternatingly exploratory and also challenging. It's so clever with the way it hides things and builds multiple exits into stages and gives you a reason to kind of poke around and explore and make use of the fact that, hey, this hardware can scroll in all directions easily. You've got a dinosaur friend you can run around on, and you can drop him in a pit to find secrets if you need to. It's a game that saves your progress, but not just that. The world evolves as you play, and the evolution of the world is persistent. So when you come back after, taking a break or whatever, come back a week later, and, you know, that bridge that you created is still there. The islands that you caused to rise out of the sea are still there. The fortresses that you collapsed are still there. And you've got, the title screen, the file select screen taunting you, saying, oh, you've only found this many stages, but you know there are 96 exits, so you got to go find the rest. There's a fun little reward for completing everything. There's Easter eggs aplenty. Yoshi himself has multiple different forms and powers. Enemies kind of play with kind of your expectations, like you jump on a turtle and you cause it to squirt out of its shell instead of just, making the turtle die or whatever, or hide. I guess they hide. So then they'll walk around in their underwear and kind of stomp around trying to get their shell back. Sometimes they can fly around without a shell. So they're like in a wife beater and boxers, but also a superhero cape. I mean, it's just a game where you can really see their inventiveness on display. This was the first Mario game where Miyamoto's team had years to put it together instead of a few months. And it really, really shows. Like, they went all in, and it's a great showcase for the Super NES hardware. It's got such a great look to it, such a wonderful sound to it with that sort of warm, muted, sampled audio of the Super NES. Anyway, yeah, I love this game. I gave it a 2. Stuart, sitting there in the dark. You look like a supervillain with the Mario Clash.
You can't. The listeners can't see this, but we're on webcam, and I've got a shadow of me like I'm Dr. Claw or something now.
Yeah, okay. I just took a screenshot of it.
Yeah, it's terrifying. I gave this game a 12 because I don't like much compared to the others.
Oh my goodness!
I'm sorry, Jeremy. I'm sorry, Jeremy. I can't explain.
This episode is over. Goodbye.
No, everybody. It's hilarious. I love this.
I think that I think this is the game that started some bad habits. I know that I'm just a big weirdo, but I feel like by making the secrets into a thing, they took away the fun of finding them a bit, because you kind of have to find them now to get the number to go up. You know which levels have got secrets in because they have big red dots on them. So if you don't find the secret, you're looking at it thinking, I'm not finished with that. I've got to go back and do that level again. And some of them you've got to come back once you've found a switch palace and do again. So that takes sort of some of the love out of it, because you'll go through and you'll be like, okay, I can't find a secret exit, but I can see that there are some red blocks here that aren't filled in. So I guess I'm going to have to fill those in and come back later. It just turns it into kind of, I think, like basic kind of sort of key door stuff. But in saying that, I still think this game is good. I just don't like it as much as Mario 3, because I think it's a design philosophy moves away from obstacle course, wacky, here we go, here's a cool thing, okay, here's another cool thing, into just kind of like, okay, and now it's time to get the spreadsheets out, and we're going to clear this game, and we're going to clear it properly and well. It's still really cool. There's a lot of things I like about it, the way that you can move through it, and you can, skip quite a lot of it again. You can find all these cool routes through it, through the Star World, the Star Road, isn't it called?
Star World, yeah.
The fact that if you make it to the end of the Star Road, you get to the ridiculous special levels that are called things like Reese's Nutrageous and Tubular.
Tubular.
Awesome.
I still hear my nightmares.
It's still a great game. It's just, for me, it's this step towards what platform games would start doing, which I didn't like, which is being more about finding everything than about clearing the level. But it's still awesome. Mario looks weird and wrong. That's about it, really. It's great. It's obviously great. It's obviously fantastic, but it's 12 for me, I'm afraid.
Yeah, I'm looking at you, shrouded in darkness with little bit of rim lighting, and sitting here slagging one of the greatest games of all time. And I feel like we need a voice processor to hide,
Super Mario World is a 12 for me.
Get that voice thing going on. So
if you want me to sound like that. If you want me to sound like that, I could go and eat some food and then come back.
We can get that moist, mucousy sound. I love that. Okay, no, that's fine.
Yes, I feel it exemplifies some of the traits I have come to dislike. Okay.
All right. Nadia, bring us back to the world of comfort and happiness, please.
Yeah, I'm going to say I'm very predictable here. I gave it a 2. It is, of course, my second next to Super Mario Brothers 3. I think the reason I gave to Mario 3 over World is because Mario 3 has that kind of chaotic imagination that Mario World by design feels a lot more organized, a lot more sure of itself. And it is very, you can kind of get that impression when you play it and you realize, okay, here is an NES Mario adventure, but so, so much more. There's secrets upon secrets and so many secret areas to find and so many cool new enemies to take down. Some of the secrets for opening those levels were pretty convoluted, though. Did anyone else suffer through, what was it, the Chocolate Land timing? There was some level where you had to get the timing right on each one to get the certain exits, and it was just really horrible.
That's vicious. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So I wasn't a big fan of that sort of thing, because he did have exits that kind of trolled you a little bit in that regard. But the idea of going through, say, a ghost house and knowing guaranteed that there is an exit that you need to find and it is separate, that sort of thing I found very fun. So I have to give it a 2 for basically just being a real solid Mario game. It's fun to play. It innovates a whole bunch. It has some of the coolest maps ever designed for a Mario game. Yeah, I'm cool. I'm good. 2.
All right. And finally, Diamond, where do you stand on this? It's a controversial one.
I love this game.
That's not controversial.
No, it's not. I'm boring. I sold my NES to get I went to the dark side. I went to Sega Genesis and So when Mario, when the Super Nintendo launched, I was playing Genesis games, and I was like, "Oh, that looks cool," but I'm enjoying my Genesis. But when I was actually on a school trip in the France, and these French kids had a Super Nintendo, or probably I don't know le Super Nintendo,
Nintendo.
You know, they were playing it, and like, "Oh, yeah, you should see this." And I saw it, and I'm like, "Oh my god!" Like it was. You know, I was already in France having my mind blown all the time by like nudity and yoga commercials, whatever. But here was this, you know, here was this spectacle I couldn't even wrap my head around. You know, the Mario is doing all these crazy things and he's throwing things up in the air. And it really does give you this sort of world feel, like, you know, Mario 3, you know, you go to world one, you go to the end of the map, and then you somehow get to another map somewhere. There's just, you know.
Yeah.
Now you're in desert. Now you're at the water level. Now you're in the ice level. But this one is like, no, you can see and you can push a button anytime to look at all the stuff you're going to go to. You can look back at old levels. You can also just go back. You know, it lets you go back there. Is this game secretly a Metroidvania? No, it's not a Metroidvania. But it does have that sort
of Chris Sims
persistent world aspect to it that I adore. So for me, this is my number one Mario game.
Oh, number one.
Yep.
Wow. Okay.
For me, the top. Right.
So this actually could have spoiled Mario 3's ranking, except Stuart had to blow it for everyone. But that's okay. 17 divided by 4, 4.25. I think that puts it on the same footing as Super Mario Brothers. We have a tie. So, we're going to dial it back from the 16-bit era to the 8-bit era for Mario's second Game Boy outing. Stuart, what do you think about Super Mario Land 2? Or as they say in France.
I like it quite a lot, this one. I don't like it as much as the first one. I gave this one a 6. I rank it just below the first one, mostly because it's way too easy. Until you get to the last level where the difficulty just spikes really, really hard. But now I might be misinformed on this, but I think Hal made this. Is that true? Did I imagine that?
Is it not true? I don't believe so.
I'm basing that on the fact that there are Kirby enemies in it, or at least one Kirby enemy turns up in this game.
I mean, you might have had some contributions from Hal doing some programming, but I'm pretty sure it was R&D 1.
Oh, well, okay. The thing that interests me a lot about Mario Land is the fact that it's still really weird. Much like Mario Land 2, it's still really weird. It's still not quite right. Like, Mario jumps higher if you press up. That's not correct. You shouldn't be doing that. The items are wrong. Like, the fire flowers are fine, but the bunny ears that you get are weird. Are there any other suits in this game, or is it just the bunny ears and the fire flower? I think it's just those two, actually. But it does incorporate things from Mario World, like the spin jump to break blocks. And it's trying to be more like the console Mario games with much chunkier graphics, much more cartoonish graphics. But then it's still really unusual. Like, you've got a world where you become small. Like, you've got a world that's, and I think the same world made out of Lego, there's a world set inside a giant robot Mario for some reason.
There's a world set inside his crotch, and it's a pinball level.
ow. What did I do to deserve this?
Yeah, it took them many years to follow up on it with Super Mario Ball, which is the best left untalked about. I think it's good. I think it's nice that it's unusual. It's nice that the bosses are all like weird animals instead of, you know, the Koopa kids or whatever. I wish it was slightly less easy, but being easy does not mean a game is bad by any means. If anything, it's kind of nice that it's easy. I mean, you go to space, that's kind of iconic, right? Yeah. You got that great space music when you get up there that's like, oh, it's great. You know, hippo, there's a hippo in there, there's a giant hippo, put you in a bubble. What's not to love about that? No, really good little game. Not quite as good as the first one for me, because it doesn't quite lend itself to the Game Boy quite so well. But I think there's more blurring. And another thing I like is there's an enemy, which is a Jason Voorhees mask with a knife stabbed through it.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Which is insane. I think you've got some of the sort of Japanese monsters or yokai or whatever they're called. You've got the umbrella one turning up in there as well. I don't know much about Japanese demons, but I'm pretty sure that's one of them.
Yeah, it scares you by keeping you dry in the rain.
But no, that's what you can say about it. It's as easy and simple as it is. I think I've just named one cool thing from every single world in the game, more or less. So, you know, that's a lot of stuff to appreciate. Plus, it's got gambling in it. And what, you know, what's not tough about that?
All right, Nadia, what do you think about Mario Land 2?
I actually also gave it a 6. And that is because I think it is a very interesting amalgamation of Mario mechanics at a time when, well, basically, I was just really impressed to see how this game looked and ran on the Game Boy because, again, I was very late to get consoles, so I was stuck with my Game Boy for a while, and I was like, hey, this is actually, you know, a really good-looking game. It does not look quite as good as Mario World, but it's still, it's up there. It's also kind of a weird game for me because I had to play it once. Well, let's put it this way. Diamond, have you ever been dragged to Hebrew summer camp?
No, I went to a Christian summer camp, though, which was a different kind of nightmare.
Okay. Well, I got dragged, not there for, like, a permanent amount of time, but I got dragged for, like, a day because my uncle and aunt were the kitchen staff there or something. And it was a long trip from Toronto up to, like, this place. And my grandfather was listening to Holocaust survivor stories the whole way. And it was as horrible as you can imagine. The long, long ride, listening to these horrible stories. Yeah, Diamond just has their face in their hands for good reason here. Thankfully, one of his students was with him because he was a teacher. And he was playing Game Boy with this game on it. And he's like, oh, hi, would you like to play? I'm like, yes, please. So I played Super Mario Land 2, instead of listening to those horrible stories for hours on end. And when my mother found out about the whole thing, she just lost her mind. But anyway, I give it a 6. Thank you, Super Mario Land 2, for saving me from some horror in my life.
Wow. Okay.
That was a naughty story. I should apologize for those up front.
No. It's good. We need those. I did not have that experience.
Thankfully,
for
I'm
some
glad.
Reason, our lives are, and brains are only similar to a certain degree. Fight, what do you think about Mario Land 2?
I do not enjoy it as much as the first Mario Land, but I still think it's very cute. As Stuart said at length, it is super weird. It's got lots of strange things in it. You know, you can tell they're trying to ape the Super Mario 3 stuff because you are going around this, you know, this sort of map and you're going different levels, but then like, these levels are kind of off in their own little like universe, so it doesn't quite accomplish the same thing. This game gave us Wario, though, who looks really strange. Yeah. You know, when you first see Wario, you're like, what the hell is that a humanoid? Like, what is it? He's got a big misshapen head. It's really strange. So I ended up giving it an 8. Just not quite as good as Mario Land or some of the other games. But, you know, I think... As Game Boy games go, it's definitely a really good Game Boy game, just not as good as other Mario games.
All right. And I feel like the spoiler here. I gave it an 11, which, you know, still fine. But I didn't play this game at the time. I played it for the first time maybe like 12 or 13 years ago and thought, wow, this is really cool. It's so weird and so different. And, you know, does all these things that I've never seen in a Mario game. But then I went back to it a few years ago, more recently, with a different eye, you know, more critical eye of someone who's been playing a lot of Game Boy games and kind of become very sensitive to some of the common pitfalls of Game Boy development. And this game, this is a rare instance of Nintendo making, you know, falling into those pitfalls and trying to do too much with the Game Boy hardware, giving you big characters that take up too much space on the screen. Mm. It causes, like, the overall feel of the game is very kind of choppy. It doesn't have the smoothness of the first Mario Land. And, you know, I think Nintendo realized that. And for the sequel to this, they were like, you know what, maybe this doesn't work. This platform doesn't really work for the experience that Mario has become. Let's just make it about Wario, who plays really differently and has different objectives and approaches the world and interacts with the world differently. And so you get Mario Land 3, which isn't on this list because it stars Wario. Yeah, exactly. But, you know, I think is a much, much better game than this. So, yeah, this ended up as an 11 for me. I think it's fine and good and does a lot of admirable, interesting, enjoyable things. I just, you know, I don't think it fits the platform that well. So,
you know, Jeremy, that's a cool story, but how does that explain the Super Mario Brothers Deluxe on Game Boy Color?
What about it?
Well, just the idea that they learned their lesson about Mario, and then they were like, oh, what if we just put Mario 1 on the Game Boy Color, but all the characters are now quite the wrong size, and, you know,
just everyone
did they learn nothing?
Everyone was making hard choices at that period. Yeah, it was a rough time.
You can print out a picture of a toad.
That's true.
There is that. So Mario Land 2 ends up as 7.75, which puts it another scooch above Donkey Kong, which had an 8. So next up is Mario Clash. Actually, I don't think there's much to say about this game. Let's see. Who kicked off the last one? Was that Nadia?
Possibly.
Let's start with Stuart on this one, because Stuart has Mario Clash in the background. So why did you pick this as your number one game?
I picked Mario Clash as my background in Zoom because my face looks so red that I thought I'd fit in with the world of virtual boy if I did it. I've got to be honest with you. I haven't actually played Mario Clash because I have no means by which to do so. I have, however, played the micro game in the original WarioWare, which approximates the experience of playing Mario Clash. And based on that micro game, I have given it 14.
Okay.
I have looked at footage of it, and I can get a basic idea of what it would be like to play. And based on that, I have given it, again, 14. I think it looks quite nice, but again, to play it, I would have to put a Virtual Boy on my head, risking death, so I've decided not to.
Okay, so we're going to go out of order here, because as the person who has definitely spent the most time with Virtual Boy here and has played this game quite a bit, I also gave Mario Clash a 14 because it's interesting, but it really feels unfinished. Like, you could really tell with a lot of the early Virtual Boy stuff that Nintendo was... I feel like this is where they kind of started to lose faith in the system, where we're just like, get it out. So what you have is basically a Mario Brothers style game, except it's not Mario Brothers because there's no two player, because you couldn't do that with Virtual Boy because they never bothered to release the link cable for it that they built a port for. So it's a single player Mario Brothers that's really, really difficult. But one of the reasons it's difficult is just because of the visualization, the 3D element. There's a front layer and a back layer, and you have to defeat enemies not by jumping on them and punching them from beneath, but rather by knocking them over and then going to the other layer of the game, you know, the front or the back layer that the enemies aren't on, and throwing a turtle shell at them across the layers. So you have to really line up these shots in 3D space, which, you know, it's a start, but it doesn't feel quite complete. And apparently there are like 99 levels, but then if you can beat somehow the 99 levels with no continues and limited lives, it just loops. There's no ending. It just, you know, it's like, oh, back to level one. I don't know. There's some neat stuff here, and it is kind of cool to see so like kind of modern day Mario ideas brought into Mario Brothers context, but yeah, this one just, it feels really underbaked. So 14, Nadia?
I think this is the only Mario game I have not played on this list. I just kind of gave it automatically a 15 because it's not the kind of Mario game where you absolutely have to go back and play it if you've missed it. It doesn't really contribute a lot to Mario history beyond maybe the character designs they used in those Virtual Boy games. They were always very unique, and I would like to see that style carried over, maybe without the horrible garish red, but...
If you want great Mario art on Virtual Boy, play Mario Tennis. It has the biggest, coolest Mario sprites ever made in 2D. They look so good.
Yeah, exactly.
They're all playing tennis.
It's such a great sort of style. It's probably the best thing about these Virtual Boy games. And unfortunately, they're more or less lost to history. So I have to give Clash a 15, and I can't really see any reason to give it anything higher.
Faito.
I actually... also put it at 14 just because I had very little experience with this one. I never owned a Virtual Boy, but I remember seeing the store displays and seeing this game and trying it out and being really interested in it. So it was always a game that held my attention, but I never owned it. I never quite mastered it in any way. And it's kind of fallen through the cracks. So yeah.
All right. That gives Mario Clash a score of 14.25 out of 15. Not looking good, Mario Clash. You may be the caboose. we jump forward a decade in time. Nintendo was like, let's just rehash the Mario 2D games for a long time. And, you know, Mario Advance was interesting. I like all the e-cards in Mario 3. I like the fact that, you know, they launched the Game Boy Advance with Super Mario Brothers 2. And it's a kind of weird version of Super Mario Brothers 2
yeah.
where it's like, there's giant shy guys, and it's so easy to get extra lives. It's almost hilarious.
And that Toad, the new Toad voice.
Oh yeah,
the let's best talk about thing that. Ever. Could I take this opportunity to very briefly say that if you have a Wii U, you should go on there and you should buy Mario Advance 4 while you still can, because it has yes. all the E-rate levels included.
That yeah, is absolutely. An upcoming episode.
Very important.
And you have less than 1 year to do that.
Oh my God, we're going to die. Mm. Anyway, so jump ahead to 2006 and Nintendo finally said, oh, you know what? Nostalgia. People love nostalgia. We should make an old school Super Mario Brothers game. And so they came up with new Super Mario Brothers for Nintendo DS. Fight, why don't we start with you? And you can let us know what you think about 2006's new Super Mario Brothers for DS.
This was a pretty important game for me because I had sort of fallen out. I felt like I had fallen out of games because, you know, with the race to 3D and with all the new consoles, I felt in the early 2000s, I felt more and more like, oh, geez, all these new games are just everything's in 3D now. Everything's an action game or an open world. And I wasn't into it. I was playing a lot more retro games at that point also because I had a better computer. So when I got the DS, I was curious about it, and I picked this game up because it looked good. It looked, oh, this is more like the Mario games I remember. And I had a lot of fun with it. I played it for a long time. I think in hindsight, I recognized a lot more of its weaknesses. You know, I just, some parts of it just aren't as creative as I would have liked. You know, it doesn't have the weirdness,
yeah.
you know, that we talked about with like the Mario Land series. Like, it's not weird so much as some of the power-ups just aren't that interesting. Like, you know, like the turtle shell power-up should be great, and it's just not. You know, the giant mushroom, the giant Mario, that looks so exciting, but then you do it and you're kind of like, okay.
It made a great trailer.
Yeah.
It did.
So I don't love it, but it was definitely a very important game for me, and I definitely had a lot of fun with it when I played it for the first time and went through it, but like, I don't really want to revisit it that much, and I'm also not a big fan of these sort of like, well, all the characters are just sort of rounded sprites based on models. I don't know. So I give it a 10, which is, you know, certainly a good game, but nothing I don't really love it. But yeah, I respect it.
All right. This game is where my opinions apparently began to fall out of sync with the universe. when I reviewed this for 1UP and EGM, I gave it an 8.5, which I thought, you know, that's a good score. 8.5 out of 10. Strong, but everyone else gave it like a 10 out of 10, and people got really mad at my review. And I mean, that's what people do. They're like, say, oh, an opinion, those assholes, how dare they have an opinion, especially if it's not mine and doesn't reinforce me and make me feel good about myself. But I don't know, like, I came to this from someone who had not stopped playing classic games. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I was very excited about this when it was announced, and you know, I have a great memory of sneaking over to Nintendo's booth on the first day of E3, an hour before the show began, because Ziff Davis 1UP had a booth right next to Nintendo's at E3. And they were just like, yeah, whatever, come play it. So I went over, played through the demo, ran back to the booth, wrote it up, and we had the first, you know, preview, like yeah. very detailed hands-on preview on the internet available. So that made me a hero for the traffic for the day.
You won the internet for that day.
I did, at least for an hour. And, you know, I just, once I actually played all the way through it, I was like, Nintendo can do better than this. I was excited about New Super Mario Brothers because it was the promise of new
right.
Super Mario Brothers after a decade of just, you know, rehashing the old games. But this really feels like a rehash. It feels like they took Super Mario Brothers, Mario 3, and just took their favorite ideas from those and threw in a few little things like, hey, now you have to be really, really tiny to get to a few of the levels. And, you know, there's the saves and the, you know, the branching paths. But I don't know. It's not that exciting to me. And I feel like the new Super Mario series got way better almost immediately. So this was very uninspiring for me and is kind of down near the bottom of my list. It's number 12 for me. Stuart?
I put it at number 11, though I think I'm more positive about it than I think you are.
I think it's a good game. Yeah. I gave it an 8.5 out of 10. That's a really strong score.
That is good.
I'm sorry, but I'm afraid that I'm going to send you some really aggressive emails.
Oh, as a result. I don't get fired.
It is a rehash, but it's a rehash of things that I like, so I'm kind of into it. I like Big Mario. You get to smash up a Mario level, kick all the pipes over and everything. It's nice and cathartic. Although in practice, the only real reason you get it is so that you can accidentally kick over the pipe that you need to get to the star coin.
There are some places where you need the Mega Mushroom to get to secrets, and then there are some places where if you use the Mega Mushroom, you've screwed yourself over. Yeah. So that's kind of fun.
Yeah. Though the thing is, I feel a bit like a hypocrite because... I like this game for some of the reasons that I don't like Mario World as much, which is weird. I like collecting 3 star coins. I liked finding the secret exits in this game because they didn't tell you which levels they were in. So you'd stumble across them instead. Some of the secrets were
ridiculous. So instead of having like a sense of where you should look and you know narrowing your search parameters, you just want to look everywhere.
I remember very vividly, this is the kind of thing that makes me really happy. One of the first castles uses the green snake blocks that follow a path. I think they originally appear in Mario World. That there's a room full of them all snaking in and out of the walls and ceilings. It's like one of the rooms with a coin in it. I remember noticing that there's a gap on the right of the screen where they were coming out of that just didn't look like anything because there were gaps everywhere. And I was like, man, it would be really funny if that was the way to the secret worlds. So I jumped up there and you know, it was the way to the secret world. And I was like, yeah, this game thinks the way I think. And I respect that. but again, I think all of the other New Super Mario Brothers games are better than this one. I think they immediately stepped it up, but I had fun with this. I also enjoyed the stupid little versus mode. And also I enjoyed the fact that it came with the mini game Sort or Splode, which is probably the best game ever made. So that was fun.
All right. And Nadia?
I gave it a 9. I think it's like basically strictly middle of the road for me. I think Fight brought up a really interesting point about how they got back into video games because of it. And that was Nintendo's intention, of course, bringing people who are kind of fatigued with 3D stuff. Hey, here's good old-fashioned 2D. And it's very good for what it is, which is a good old-fashioned 2D game. But I find that New Super Mario Brothers, as we will discuss, was vastly improved upon in subsequent games. And just overall, I feel like the New Super Mario Brothers games lacks the kind of aforementioned creativity and chaotic imagination of, say, Mario World and Mario 3. They're extremely polished, like just like some of the best 2D Mario games would play in terms of mechanics, but it doesn't have the flair of old-fashioned SNES Mario. And, you know, I'm sorry to sound old and grouchy, but we'll get into that. The point is, it's a 9 for me.
A 9. Okay. So that brings us to 42 points divided by 4 equals 10.5. It's a 10.5. That's 2 points worse than what I gave it for EGM. And therefore, everyone should be angry at you, not me. That's right. On to New Super Mario Brothers Wii. So I really love this game. It really surprised me after New Super Mario Brothers. I was kind of like, eh. But then this came out. It added the multiplayer. It just, you know, it felt like this was what I wanted New Super Mario Brothers to be when it first came out. Like it felt different and fresh and, you know, had a much more focused approach to its design because it had to work for 4 people. But then it introduced that, you know, reintroduced that Mario Brothers dynamic where you're playing together with other people and it's kind of chaotic. Sometimes you can help each other. I have just great memories of playing this at 1UP. You know, I've talked about this before, but, you know, playing on a stream and I'm trying to like lead the live stream. And so I'm not fully paying attention. And as I'm trying to like conduct the conversation and play, Scott Sharkey is just, you know, throwing me into the lava or whatever, like just basically being as miserable to me as he possibly can. But, you know, also playing this with my wife's cousin and her family, and, you know, all of us sitting around playing Mario together, trying to teach their son, who was like 3 or 4 at the time, how to play a platformer, helping him out when we needed to with the bubble mode and things like that. So yeah, it's a very broad game, and that it can appeal to a lot of different people if you want to just go for, you know, to max everything out and find every coin and so forth, you can do that. But if you just want to play together and kind of goof around and help each other out, that works too. I don't know. Really like this one. I gave it a 6. Placed it at 6. Stuart?
Yeah, I like this game a lot. I gave it a 7, so slightly lower. I remember seeing the original trailer for this and immediately just being like, oh God, yes, this is it. They've put 4 players in it. This is going to be amazing. Then quick disappointment when I realized that the 4 players weren't Mario, Luigi, Toad, and Princess. Unfortunately, they were Mario and Luigi and then 2 random Toads.
Yellow Toad should not be here.
But that doesn't take away from the fact that it's enormous fun. The fact that the levels fundamentally became sort of widescreen to account for the 4 players means it all looks very sprawling. It means they can hide secrets in a lot more interesting places because there's a lot more screen estate to work with. I honestly haven't got much to say about it other than just it's way better than the first one, and I loved the first one. So yeah, it's great, classic.
Nadia?
I think the Wii was very, very good to Mario between this and Mario Odyssey. You had a great 2D Mario and you had a great 3D Mario. And the best thing about Super Mario Brothers, New Super Mario Brothers Wii, is that I feel like everybody who had a Wii had this game. It was kind of like Wii Fit and kind of like Wii Sports in that regard. And I, like you, Parrish, I remember having great memories, not just playing with my husband, but also like whenever I'd go to some little cousin's house or something, that they'd be playing Mario Wii and saying, hey, you want to play with me? Sure, of course I want to play with you, and have a great time. I also feel like they took a lot of the mechanics that they were experimenting with in New Super Mario Brothers and said, okay, here's what was fun about that. Here's what was kind of trash about that, and really slimmed it down and made a really good, compact Mario experience that was just wild fun. I think everyone has good memories, good chaotic memories of playing New Super Mario Brothers Wii.
And finally, what was your score?
Oh, it was a 7.
7, okay. And Fight?
Everyone but me, I guess. I didn't really care for this one. Possibly it was complicated just because of the time it came out. I didn't have a lot of people to play it with, but whenever I did play it with other people, it just, I don't know, I never quite had as much fun as I was allegedly supposed to have, you know? I found the controls very awkward. There's some gyrating stuff, there's like shaking stuff that I just never got around to, I never quite grasped. I don't like those 2 toads. And
racist.
This one never really clicked with me. So I put it down towards the bottom at 13.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Love them toads.
8.25 is where we rank this one.
Oh yeah.
I liked it when they introduced Toadette, so they had an excuse to give Toad an even higher voice. That was great.
Right.
That was the best idea they ever had.
Yeah.
So there's like Toad and there's Chainsmoking Toad.
May I? Wasn't this the first game to introduce the controversial Super Guide feature? Am I imagining that?
I believe so, yeah.
Okay.
But
because if it ever appears, say goodbye to your shiny stars.
Anyway, so that's where that comes in. It was a little behind Donkey Kong, but before Lost Levels. So now we move on to New Super Mario Brothers 2 for Nintendo 3DS. Stuart, why don't you go ahead and lead us into this one?
I really love this one. It's one of my favorites. I gave it a 4. It does a lot of stew things that I like. For example, and it is mainly just this, to be honest, you'll be on a screen that has a sort of weird craggy ceiling. In the craggy ceiling, for no reason, there will be a little tiny little cubbyhole gap. And if you do a pointless, stupid wall jump up there, 3 coins will appear on the screen from the left. They will slide in as if to say, yeah, you did your stupid, pointless wall jump. Here's some coins, you idiot. And I'm just like, hooray! It's like that thing in Mario 3D World where you would climb up some absurd platform that you're not really supposed to climb up, and you'd find three coins and a little Luigi. And it's like, oh, they know that I'm dicking around. They know that I'm dicking around, and they're rewarding me for dicking around. That goes a long way for me. But also, I think it's a really strong game. I think it's quite underrated. I think that the sorry, that's such a stupid thing to say. Oh, it's underrated, because that's me. That's like me saying that I'm definitely
underappreciated,
right.
Is the word.
Okay,
that I like.
Yeah, that's better. I think it's underappreciated. There you go. I'm going to use that from now on. You know, you can get a coin box stuck on your head and run while coins are pinging out of it. The whole focus on collecting coins is just joyous to me, because they were right. There is nothing more fun than collecting coins in the world. It's beautiful. Everywhere you go, you're just spamming coins everywhere. You get gold fire flowers that let you turn things into coins. You have pipes farting coins into your face. It's beautiful. It's a joy. It's got loads of cool levels. I think you can do the whole thing in multiplayer if you link up, unlike the original, which is just some sort of mini game stuff. And I think it's an underappreciated bit of a classic. It was the first Nintendo game to have DLC, which is either a blessing or a curse. And I might be wrong. It might not be the very first one, but it's the first one I can remember, which gave you some kind of Kaizo-style nails-hard levels officially made by Nintendo. Lots to appreciate. I give it a 4. Had a lot of fun. Lots of coins. Get a million coins. Sort what you'll want in real life. So, yeah.
All right. Nadia?
Now I feel bad because I'm just going to rain on Stuart's joy of this
game.
Okay. Because
I did it with Mario World. So
I gave it like a 12. Ooh. Because I just feel like this was probably the Mario game that made the least impression on me, barring some of the real loser games on this list, like, you know, Clash. I just didn't understand the point of it. Like, cool, you're right, collecting coins is a lot of fun, and it's, you know, just ridiculous how many coins are in this game. But this game also came out during a time, I don't know if anyone recalls, when we were having very heated discussions about whether or not lives and coins and all that sort of thing are obsolete in game design. So we're all getting mad about lives being a thing in games. And here comes Nintendo like, have 1,000 lives. Ha ha, screw you.
Well, I mean, they kind of proved the point that they're pointless. They're obsolete.
Oh, absolutely.
And after this, you know, Mario started to move away from lives.
I guess you're right. I guess this was kind of like a last hurrah. We're going to give Mario all the lives and then we're going to take them all away from him. But either way, it just there's nothing about this game that stuck with me. I maybe finished it once and said, okay, I'm cool, I'm good. So it's 12.
Hmm. All right, Diamond.
I like this one a lot. I had a lot of fun with it. I really enjoyed all the coin stuff. I definitely was one of those people who made it to a million coins. I don't remember what you get for it. So
I think it challenges you to get another million, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, Jesus, no.
I don't remember.
You get a million coins, someone comes to your house with a real P-Wing.
No, they must have lost my address.
I feel like if you get a million coins, Wario should, you know, be replaced by Wario.
I agree. That would have been great.
The game definitely could have used a little more Wario aspect to it. But yeah,
yes.
I loved the coin aspect and the gold flower and like how that it made you so powerful. Like it's almost like the Mega Mushroom, where it's like, you know, if you use Mega Mushroom in the right places, it's fun, but you can also sort of get yourself in trouble. I like how the Golden Fire Flower, like, obviously you get lots of coins when you use it, but it's so powerful. Like, it breaks certain walls, like, it KOs certain enemies. Like, if you're too reckless with it, you can sort of miss out on opportunities. And I remember there's one level where, like, you're on a boat or a raft, and you want to keep a Koopa shell sort of running back and forth on this boat, bouncing back and forth to get like the most amount of coins. But you also get the gold flower on that level. So it's like if you throw the fireball at the wrong time, you'll knock out that shell and then it's just gone.
Yeah.
So like I remember like challenges, stuff like that. So I had a lot of fun with this. I give it a 9. So bet I liked it more than Super Mario Brothers, new Super Mario Brothers 1. But yeah, it doesn't compare to the original 2D stuff for me, but I liked it. Also, this game came out the same time as the large 3DS, which was a fun, you know, I've got a bigger 3DS right now, you know, bigger screen.
Yeah, you know, I gave it a 9 also, and I think I put it there because thinking back, you know, the thing that stuck out to me was, oh, this, you know, took away some of the stuff that I liked from New Super Mario Brothers Wii, but listening to Stuart talk and listening to you talk, Diamond, I'm like, I did this game dirty because I was one of the few people who was really like out there in the press standing up for this and saying, no, this is really interesting. This is Nintendo. Like they know what Mario is And they are just playing with the concept and, you know, really taking one granular aspect of it and just exploring it. And, you know, there's some really fun, inventive level designs. Like Stuart says, you know, anything you do, you're going to be rewarded with coins. They'll be like, you know, you pull off a weird jump or go someplace you're not supposed to, and you'll hear like applause and coins will just shower onto the screen for you.
I love it so much.
And, you know, it is always this kind of like, you know, it's serotonin. It's you always feel good about getting coins and collecting stuff. And it's funny because there are so many coins in this game, and yet you still find yourself compelled to just do stupid things, dangerous things that'll probably get you killed to get like two little coins that you don't need. But you're like, oh, but I gotta have those coins. It really just scratches that impulse. So yeah, I gave it a 9, but it probably deserves better. Let's see, what is the final tally for this? 8.5. So that puts it slightly below New Super Mario Bros. Wii and still ahead of the Lost Levels. So I apologize. I did this game dirty. Actually, no, that was Nadia. Nadia did
it. It was me. I mean, there's a mechanic here that you all understand that it just completely flew by me.
It's fine, you know? The great thing about Mario games is that they really do kind of span a pretty wide variety of styles mm-hmm. and approaches. So there is something for everyone. Speaking of which, here is a game for everyone. New Super Mario Bros. U. Nadia, why don't you tell us why this is the greatest game of all time? The best Mario
so
game
So you're still
ever.
Banging that drum, Mario. I'm sure you'll get to it in a second.
What drum are we talking about?
Which site were we working for where you gave it like the number one in a ranking and everyone lost their mind?
It was Polygon.
Yeah,
it was,
yeah. That's right.
Yeah, for a while they were giving me very generous freelance checks to just write these ranking lists and make people angry. They I think they got a lot of traffic. But I remember after that ranking list came out, I don't know if I've mentioned this, but like a couple of days after it came out, I saw Christy Teigen tweet about playing New Super Mario Brothers U. So I was like, okay, so like this is really making the rounds. People are seeing this list and you know, people who hadn't played Mario U were checking it out for the first time. So I felt good about that.
Yeah, you know what? I think you're onto something. I'm not going to call it the best Mario, the 2D Mario game, but I did give it a 5. And I think mechanically it is the best and tightest of the new Super Mario Brothers games. I don't think it gets a fair shake. I think a lot of people regard it as some, like, you know, kind of copycat subpar Wii U game because number one, Wii U. Number two, let's be honest, it does look a lot like New Super Mario Brothers Wii, but as I said, it's just a much tighter, much easier sort of play. It goes down very nicely, and Princess is back, so hooray, there you go. There, I suppose maybe people have complaints because it's not the most exciting looking game outside of when they really kind of take these like beautiful levels, like the Van Gogh painting, everyone knows about that one. But they don't never repeat that sort of imagination very frequently in the game. Most of the time you're getting generic backgrounds, which look fine in HD. They actually look very nice, but we've kind of seen them before in the new Super Mario Brothers levels. And I'm just salty because we never got a sort of painting level of based on Cronus eating his son with Bowser and Bowser Jr. See, that's what's happening in the background. But yeah, I think it is just a good, solid, tight Mario game. I'm sorry for using all these really kind of sexual sounding descriptors, but it is.
You know, I wasn't going there, but okay.
Well, you brought me on here for a reason. It is basically like the pinnacle of 2D Mario. I think it just lacks that imagination that really makes the NES and SNES Mario games a little much more chaotic and fun to explore. But yeah.
All right. Fight.
Yeah, I remember getting this at launch for the Wii U and being excited for it and sort of losing interest in it almost immediately. It just didn't click with me again. And I don't know. Maybe it was just the fact that again the levels are so large and it's all supposed to be multiplayer. So if you don't have the multiplayer with you, it just doesn't quite feel right. Or you know, you hit the power up and something like 4 power ups come up because everyone has to get a power up, but someone can take it. I don't know. It just I definitely tried. I gave it a little more shake when it came out for the Switch with the DX version, but as it is, I never really got into it, and just never stuck with me, so I put it below the other ones at 11.
All right, so I got to balance that out. I put it obviously at 1, and that's not just a bit. I really, to me, like, I really feel this is kind of the grand synthesis of Mario games, and you know, there's a reason they haven't made a new proper 2D Mario game in a decade. Like, how do you one up this? I think this game got a really bad shake at launch because, one, it was tied to a platform no one wanted, and two, they had just released New Super Mario Brothers 2 a few months before. Like, some really, right, really bad planning and timing there. But this really, you know, this takes, it kind of uses Mario World as its basis. It really kind of builds on that style, but then it incorporates ideas from all throughout the Mario series. You know, I bagged on New Super Mario Brothers for not bringing enough new to the table and feeling like warmed over rehashed ideas from other Mario games. This does that right. This, you know, this brings in influence and concepts and elements from the other Mario games, but at the same time, it just constantly feels like, oh, I haven't seen this in a level before. Oh, like, this is, you know, challenging me to find secrets in a way that's different and new, you know, like using the little baby Yoshis to kind of search your way through stuff. I don't know. It was just, there was just a lot of variety to it. I think it works really well as a single player game. It also works really well as a multiplayer game. And I feel like they really kind of all, you know, 20, 30 years of Mario thinking, 25 years, I guess, at this point, when this came out, just kind of came together and created this really, really excellent distillation of everything that 2D Mario is. And I'd love to see, you know, a new game that goes in as wild a direction as Mario Odyssey or something and just like totally changes things in 2D. But for the time being, like, this to me is really kind of the pinnacle. And so this is where they stopped making 2D Mario games, original 2D Mario games. That's a good note to go out on. So yeah, I'm a big fan of this game. And finally, Stuart.
Yeah, I gave it 8. I still think it's really good. I gave it one place lower than the Wii game because honestly, to me, it kind of just felt like that again. More right. of that. And you know what? More of something that's awesome is great. But, you know, I didn't like the squirrel suit that much. I didn't enjoy being a squirrel. I just thought it was nuts. Sorry, I'll quit after this. There is stuff I like about it. The influence from Mario World means it's got the whole fun thing of skipping across the entire map without having the more segmented, just kind of like, oh, this is a warp zone. It's more, you found a route, you found a secret route through the world, you found a new place to go, which feels good. It feels cool. Because first time I beat this game, I did skip a huge chunk of it by accident. And that's always a nice feeling, I think, because it means I get to go back and do all those fun levels. I like the fact that the map doesn't actually tell you where the secret levels are. So once again, you have to actually figure it out using the map sort of geography, which is fun to think like, oh, that looks like there could be a route through there. That looks like it could be a secret level. But no, I can't fault it, really. Also, I enjoyed the fact that it leaned into sort of speedrun culture by giving you all of those speedrun like videos and challenges and bonuses.
Right.
Which I don't think, this is the one that has challenge mode, right? And boost mode. Another player can use the Wii U gamepad to draw platforms while you're playing through. And I believe there were some challenge modes in addition to that as well, which you may have unlocked as you got more and more star coins. I can't remember exactly how it works. But no, this was good. The deluxe version was good. Obviously got thrown in with Luigi U, which we're not talking about because it's stupid Luigi and not Mario. No, I love Luigi, and he's my boy.
I love him.
No, this is a good game. I just can't rank it as high as the Wii one because it feels like more of that, basically. But that's not a bad thing by any means.
So finally, one last game. We're going to count it because people get angry when you don't. A few people, actually not very many people. But go ahead and bring it home for us, Fight, with Super Mario Run.
I just gave up on this. Sorry. I was just, you know, I enjoyed some of the Nintendo mobile stuff, and I definitely downloaded it and I played it for a while. but I also just felt like it just wasn't clicking with me. I didn't enjoy tapping a screen to make Mario jump. I didn't enjoy the fact that, you know, you make the wrong mistake and you got to like somehow find a way to make him bounce off a wall to go back on something. And it's like, no, I just want to move. I want to move Mario. If we're going to play with Mario, I want to have fun with Mario moving and running and jumping. And tapping the thing to make him jump is not the same. You know, they could lie to you. They can say, oh, it's just like you're pushing the button. You're making Mario jump. Like, no, this doesn't feel like like Mario is just listening to me like in his earpiece. And maybe he listens. Maybe he doesn't. Maybe I didn't push the screen at the right moment. Ugh. So this is the bottom for me. I gave up on it. 50.
Okay. 15. And, oh, you said 50. Wow. Way down there.
No, dear me. That's going to screw things up.
15. Okay. I'd give it a 50. I also put this at 15. And it's not because of a bias against mobile games. You know, it's just, this isn't what I want from any Mario game. It takes away my sense of agency and control. And, like, to me, that's not what the Mario series is about. Like, I get what they were going for here. And I guess they succeeded with that. But it just, why not do that with a different character? I don't know. We only included this, you know, just out of obligation to say, yes, that was a 2D Mario game, but it's not, you know, it's, there's less to it than Mario Brothers or Donkey Kong, but it was made 30 years later. So 35 years later, I don't know. Anyway, not a fan of this one. Sorry. It's a 15 for me also. Stuart?
Yeah, I gave it 15. I guess the best way I can describe it is in platform games, sometimes there'll be a level where you are auto-scrolling.
Yes.
Crash Bandicoot has it a lot. Let's say Crash Bandicoot. Now, the objective of Crash Bandicoot is to break all the boxes. If you're not breaking all the boxes, then you're not doing it right. If you are trying to break all the boxes, if you miss a box while auto-scrolling, you can't go back and get it. You've got to die or reset. This is an entire game of that. Because you're trying to get these red coins, you're trying to get these green coins, black coins, et cetera, et cetera. If you miss one, which is incredibly easy to do, that's it. You've got to reset. There's no turning around. Or you can turn around, but in a very limited capacity. So it's a whole game of just, oh, shit, missed it. Oh, bollocks, missed it, over and over again. And you know what? It ain't fun. It sucks. It's a bad game. So, I give it 15.
All right, Nadia, you gotta bring it up. You gotta balance out the score here.
My number one, actually. No, I was actually reviewing mobile games when this game came out, and of course they gave me this review, and it's a 13 for me because it's fine, it's fun for what it is, and I appreciate what they were trying to do with the, like, okay, how do we make Mario fun on mobile, which is a notoriously hard platform to control? Oh, well, let's just make it a one-touch control. Okay, great. But that's not what I play Mario for. I play Mario because I want that agency over my exploration and my platforming. I don't want him to run around like a crazy person and I just try to control his manic ways. I could just play Sonic for that. Ha ha ha. So yeah, it's just it has some good level design, actually. The only problem was it just wasn't suitable for Mario. I didn't keep up with it for too long.
All right. So that brings this game's score to 14.5, which puts it down at the bottom. So
Can I just add, very quickly.
Oh.
For my own defense, I enjoyed Dr. Mario World on the mobile, so I don't hate mobile games. And the promotion for this game did give us lots of wonderful gifts of Shigeru Miyamoto eating cake in one hand while he played Super Mario Run in the other hand. And those
were
adorable.
That's true.
And then he had to play Wii Fit a lot because he was eating cake. Okay, yeah, so Retronauts has officially ranked the Mario 2D games.
Officially.
And if you've been officially, this is word of law.
Yes.
This is canonized. Someone please update Wikipedia to make this rule, the public statement. So starting from the bottom, with 14.5 points, about as bad as it can get, Super Mario Run, a scooch, that's a technical term.
Scooch.
Scooch above that, 14.25 Mario Clash. So those are the bad Mario games, or the ones that no one wants to play. There's a huge jump of like 2.5 points to 10.75 for Mario Brothers. A scooch higher than that is New Super Mario Brothers. 9.75 is Super Mario Brothers, The Lost Levels. A point and a quarter above that, a point and a scooch, is New Super Mario Brothers 2. And then jump up a scooch, New Super Mario Brothers Wii, another scooch, Donkey Kong, another scooch, Super Mario Land 2. Then that's 7.75. Then up at 6.5 points, Super Mario Land, a scooch higher, New Super Mario Bros. U. Jump up to 4.5 points, Super Mario Bros. 2, a scooch up. You have a tie with Super Mario Bros. And Super Mario World. And then finally, with only 2 points, actually it's two rankings, whatever. Anyway, Super Mario Bros. 3. So, yes, no surprises. Super Mario Bros. 3, Super Mario Bros., Super Mario World, Brothers 2, New Super Mario U, Super Mario Land, Super Mario Land 2, Donkey Kong, Super Mario Bros. Wii, Super Mario Bros. 2, Lost Levels, Mario Bros., New Super Mario Bros., Mario Bros., Mario Clash, Mario Run. No big surprises, but it's good to have it, you know, canonized and for everyone to know the truth and no
for
longer
future
have
generations
to debate.
To study.
There needs to be no more conversation about this. Like, we've
putting,
said the
final
word. Yeah. Like, what else is there to say about Mario games? I'm sorry, everyone. We've shut down the conversation forever, at least until they put out a new game. But for now, that's it. We've said everything there is to say. So thanks for listening to...
You know, if we look at this from an integer standpoint, it's kind of like Super Mario Bros. 3 is alone at the top. Then Super Mario Bros., Super Mario World, Super Mario Bros. 2 are all basically tied. And then Super Mario Bros. U and Super Mario Land are tied for third place. And then the rest just sort of fall into wherever they fall.
Exist.
So
they trickle down.
If you look at that top five, if you look, that's a pretty solid top five.
I agree.
I feel good about the top five, even though I didn't really care much for Mario Bros. U.
Well, I had to stick it in there, you know.
No, get I get it.
Somehow. Right. Anyway, thanks all of you for taking the time to participate in this hootenanny. Once again, there are so many opportunities for hootenannies down the road. I look forward to discussing things with you and having objectively correct opinions stated. But for now, this is it. I know, Fight, it's very late in Japan, so you should go to sleep. And, you know, it's still kind of early for me in North America, so I should go back to sleep. Stuart, you can do whatever you want, I guess. Lurk in your supervillain lair and plan the conquest of the Western world. But yes, please, everyone, tell us where we can find you. If you are listening to this podcast, of course, you know that you can find Retronauts where all fine podcasts are located, except Spotify, because no. you can support us and subscribe to us. This is a crowdfunded podcast. Go to patreon.com/retronauts. And if you subscribe, then not only do you get to hear every episode we publish each week on Monday, a week earlier than on the public feed, but also with much higher sound quality, which is especially great for those little musical interstices that we add because they sound so nice. If you subscribe for $5 a month, you also get patron exclusive bonus episodes every other Friday, plus every weekend. Diamond Fight here writes about some sort of classic topic that happened in previous years and does a little mini podcast about it. Plus you get Discord access. That's a lot of stuff. There's other tiers too. Retronauts on Patreon, patreon.com/retronauts. Diamond, what else do you do besides tell us about this week in retro on Retronauts?
Gosh, well, I use Twitter sometimes, and I use Twitch sometimes, and I play games sometimes just for fun. You can find me on most services as Fight Club, F-E-I-T, my last name, C-L-U-B, the noun or the verb. And I have written columns about Super Mario Bros. 2 and Super Mario Bros. 3, and probably later this year when Super Mario Bros. New Super Mario Bros. 2 turns 10, I'll probably cover that this year because that was a game I enjoyed a lot. So yeah. I'll have to revisit it in time for that. But I do have the Zelda edition, but I do have the gold large 3DS. So I feel like that'll be the best way to experience it.
Yes. Nice. All right, Nadia.
Well, you can find me on Retronauts. I have done episodes here, and I will continue to do them as long as I am not kicked out. So I am appreciative of that. I am also on Twitter at Nadia Oxford, and I am at the Axe of the Blood God RPG podcast. I co-host along with my friend Kat Bailey. You can support us and find us at patreon.com/bloodgodpod. I think we're on the markets that do the streamy thing, Apple. I don't know if we're on Spotify still, but
streamy thing,
whatever you youngsters call it. So we're all about that. And I also do, under the Blood God banner, Charlene Dropouts, a Final Fantasy 14 podcast. So I hope you listen. And I don't know, Dragoons rule. Great.
Stuart.
Hi, you can find me on Twitter at Chupacabra and read all my terrible, awful, constant tweets, or just mute me. I don't mind. you can find The podcasts that I do, which are all in various states of flux at the moment, but there's Animania Chat, which is reviewing every single episode of Animaniacs. The twist is I hate Animaniacs. It makes me want to kill myself. There's the Dillcast, which is reviewing every single Dilbert comic ever, one comic per episode. But that's essentially devolved now into abstract, surreal humor.
That sounds terrible.
Because it's horrible. It's the worst. But it's fun.
I mean,
it's,
if you're reviewing Dilbert, you've got to get humor someplace, and it's certainly not coming
exactly,
from the comics.
Exactly. I don't know. I mean, you know, he's an office man. He's a guy in an office. We've not even reached the point yet where he's in the office. We're still on the early ones where he's just doing stuff. It's going to take forever. The rest of our lives are ruined. But or you can find my sort of link tree there and find out about the other mad, wacky things I do, such as Retronauts episodes that are just a smidge British compared to the other ones. And
a scooch,
yeah. And you'll find my writing on websites such as Nintendo Life and, again, Retronauts.com. I do lots of things, and you can find all about them on my Twitter. So go there, please. Thank you.
All right. And finally, you can find me, Jeremy Parrish, on Twitter as GameSpite, and doing things all over the place on YouTube as Jeremy Parrish, on Retronauts as Jeremy Parrish, and at Limited Run Games as Jeremy Parrish. So thanks, everyone, for listening to our correct opinions. Now you know exactly what you should think about Mario games. We will brook no dissent. And why would we? Why would we brook dissent? Because we're correct, and you know it. So we'll be back again next week with another podcast about other things, but we'll do more of these rankings because they're fun. They rankle, and everyone loves to be rankled. So look forward to it, and bye-bye.
Oh, no, we forgot Hotel Mario. We have to do the whole thing again.
I'm tired.